Ladies and gentlemen, a good morning to you. This is John Cameron Swayze in the NBC newsroom in New York. In the South, a call for a Southern convention to nominate a presidential candidate is scheduled for today. There's speculation by speculators, businessmen, and government economists about the drop of commodities. There has been a plane crash in the Ozark Mountains and a $500,000 fire in Philadelphia. We'll get into the news in summary and by way of direct reports in just a moment, but now, your announcer.
On February 12th, America will celebrate the birthday of Abraham Lincoln. And it's well worth the while to consider the words of his speech at Gettysburg in 1863, words for the men who gave their lives for freedom. It is for us, the living, rather to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to the cause for which they gave the last full measure of their devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. Now back to the newsroom.
Politics and the cost of living are both prominent in the news of the morning. There are those who are willing to predict that living costs are going down following the third straight day of limit drops on the grain markets, and the Southern governors are awaiting a call to bolt the National Democratic Party with a lack of enthusiasm. Let's look at that story. In conference at Wakulla Springs, Florida, the governors are expecting the call to bolt to come today from Mississippi's Governor Fielding L. Wright. That has been anticipated for days ever since the outbreak of feeling in the South early this week after President Truman announced his stand on civil rights on racial issues. But it now appears that by no means all of the Southern governors are back of the move to bolt the party. When Mississippi's Governor Wright told Georgia's Governor M.E. Thompson he was going to introduce the resolution to form an all-Southern party, the gentleman from Georgia responded by showing Wright an advance copy of a strong statement. It was a sharply worded condemnation of a party bolt. The Mississippi governor said he would introduce the resolution anyhow, to which the Georgia governor replied, "If you do, we'll beat you." He is not alone in that sentiment. At least some of those who oppose the bolt are against President Truman's civil rights stand, but prefer to keep the fight in the party. Besides Thompson, Folsom of Alabama said he opposed the bolt. Governors Thurmond of South Carolina and Jester of Texas are reported by intimates to be cold to the idea. Lane of Maryland is against it, and so is Governor Caldwell of Florida, the party's host. Arkansas's chief executive, Ben Laney, hasn't arrived, but the chances are he'll back Mississippi's Wright in efforts to form a separate party, for he has said he'd rather see a Republican in the White House than accept Mr. Truman's civil rights program. However, in spite of the fact the majority seems against him, Governor Wright is apparently going ahead with his plan. The newspaper The Clarion Ledger in Jackson, Mississippi, says that Wright is going to call an all-Southern convention on March 1st to pick a presidential nominee, and that he will ask the Mississippi legislature for $100,000 to finance it. Well, there's a political prediction in the news this morning from a man who prides himself on his astuteness in sizing up the election map. James A. Farley, visiting in Detroit, said he thinks Senator Vandenberg will be the Republican nominee. He foresees a deadlock between Taft and Dewey, with Vandenberg being drafted. But as for election, President Truman will defeat the GOP. For, says Farley, our history shows that a president has never been beaten when times are good, and they should still be prosperous at election. That brings us around to the economic picture of the moment. Following the crash of commodity prices for the third straight day yesterday, at least a crack is appearing in family food costs. Flour and lard are the first to drop in over-the-counter cost. Two eastern food chains have lowered flour prices 4 cents on a 10-pound bag, and others have indicated they'll follow suit on Monday. This traces directly to the drops on the grain markets. Lard is down 4 cents a pound. However, it is too soon to leap to the conclusion that everything is going down in price. Government economists who don't want to be quoted don't seem to think the retail drops will match the collapse on the commodity markets. They may go down some, but not so sharply. A number of the experts in the business field do think there's a good chance the upward spiral has been halted and there may be some reductions. It's also felt the public is apt to resist high prices more strongly. In Cleveland, American Stockyards Association President A.Z. Baker tossed in his opinion, said he didn't expect meat prices to decline, even if grains have been dropping steadily. He says his belief is based on the short supply of cattle on the hoof, the smallest since 1941. Bernard Baruch is, of course, on the record as saying commodity prices may be softening, the word is his, and that if this is true, no restoration of price controls will be necessary. And New York's U.S. Senator Ives said overnight he was glad the commodity market drops had occurred because he thought a setback in prices would help prevent a large-scale, ruinous depression. Now for our direct reports. Here's a final report on the elections in ERA from Merrill Muller in Dublin.
Prime Minister Eamon de Valera and his defeated administration of 9 cabinet ministers are all trooping to one southern Irish constituency today for a weekend of electioneering in an effort to save their ruling authority in this 7th general election. The impossible has happened. For the first time in 16 years, Eamon de Valera has been beaten at the polls, his party of Fianna Fáil capturing only 66 parliamentary seats against a combined opposition of 76. Therefore, the 5 remaining seats to be voted next week become all important. De Valera needs all 5 of those seats to further reduce his dependency on National Labour and independent politicians. Otherwise, De Valera has the choice of forming a weak coalition government or going into opposition. He cannot escape some form of coalition since he lacks 8 seats for a ruling majority. The De Valera party polled more than twice the vote of its nearest competitor, the Fine Gael group, but this latter held its strength while De Valera was losing some 60-odd thousand ballots. Also, the Farmers' Party was virtually eclipsed. The 2-year-old People's Republic Party of Sean McBride took much of the other's losses to poll over 170,000 votes and capture 10 seats in its first general election. Socialist Labour also came back strongly as the 3rd largest party with 14 seats. De Valera's spokesmen today point out that they can rely on independents for strength and are still the biggest party in the nation. This is correct, but it means a coalition government for ERA of one kind or another and a new election not many months away. This is Merrill Muller in Dublin.
Now for our Saturday visit to the Olympics. Our man is standing by, so come in, Henry Cassidy in St. Moritz, Switzerland.
A blinding snowstorm has disrupted the Winter Olympic program again this morning, with only one more day to go for the game. The finals of the 4-man bobsled race had to be postponed until this afternoon, and the ski jump, scheduled to begin right now, may have to be delayed because it's impossible to see from the top to the bottom of the slope. The hockey games were held up for a while, but were finally played in the swirling snow, and the other remaining Olympic event, the figure skating for couples, is now underway. Under Olympic rules, the games are limited to 10 days and must end tomorrow, regardless of conditions. But there's a bright ray in the committee rooms this morning because some kind of agreement has been reached in the long, awkward controversy over hockey. No official announcement has been made, but I understand hockey will be recognized as an Olympic sport. This despite the participation of the American AHA team that was ruled out by the Olympic Committee. What happens to international control of the sport, the real issue, is not yet clear. The agreement was made easier because the unofficial American team, beaten twice, has no chance to take the championship. The big game this morning was between undefeated Switzerland and Czechoslovakia. It had to be played in 6 10-minute periods so the ice could be cleared, and the result was a resounding victory for Czechoslovakia, 7-1. America beat Great Britain, 4-3. Czechoslovakia is now in the lead, but if the Canadians beat Switzerland in the final game tomorrow, they will take the championship on points. Dick Button and Barbara Ann Scott received their gold medals for figure skating this morning in a ceremony at the ice stadium. The leading teams are now Sweden, then Switzerland, and third, the United States. This is Henry Cassidy in St. Moritz.
Back home and to check on the news in our nation's capital, we call on Arthur Barrio in Washington.
The Senate Banking Committee seems to have tripped all over itself trying to come up with a new rent control bill. So it's taking a 10-day vacation from this tricky problem in order to clear away the mental cobwebs and get a fresh start. A 5-man subcommittee turned in some suggestions, but when the full committee began to discuss the proposals, agreements were scarcer than the Valentines which Republicans will send to the Democrats. But here's what the subcommittee bill would do. It would extend controls through April 1949, but would extend them in what's described as greatly relaxed form. There'd be unlimited increases if landlords and their tenants get together on leases which would run through all of next year. It would eliminate, at the end of this year, all controls over the rents of those who sign leases providing for voluntary 15% increases. It would permit increases up to 15%, in those cases where landlords can prove that their operating costs have gone up. It would do away with ceilings in any community where 1% of the houses are for sale or for rent. and both landlords and tenants would have the right to appeal. All of which provisions, as they say, are subject to change without notice. Otherwise, this morning, everyone's polishing up the brass at the Pentagon, for this is the day when General Ike Eisenhower steps down and General Bradley steps up as Chief of Staff. There'll be ceremonies at noon with President Truman on hand. And today, the Republicans are going around Capitol Hill muttering expressions such as impossible and out of the question. They're referring to the administration estimate that another $250 million will be needed for foreign aid. The extra money would be for China, Greece, and Turkey. This is a State Department estimate, which has the GOP saying that Americans can't stand that kind of money. And also this morning, we're told that politics is the main reason why prices are so high. The idea comes from Senator Taft, who says the administration is trying to create an air of false prosperity in a campaign year. This is Arthur Barrio in Washington.
Over the nation, police and sheriff's deputies are trying to reach an isolated section of the sleet-covered mountains of the Arkansas Ozarks, the spot where a plane crashed during the night. It's believed the plane was a B-25 from Wright Field, Ohio, carrying five Army personnel. There has been a $500,000 fire in Philadelphia, accompanied by a series of explosions that rocked the nearby area. The blaze swept a fuel oil, chemical, and storage depot. It appears there is a good chance that the Wright brothers' plane will be returned to the United States from England after all. It seems that although Orville Wright did not change his will, which gave the plane to a London museum, he did provide that the airship should be returned if he requested it in writing. Now a letter has been found among the papers of Wright, who died a week ago, which indicates he wanted the plane returned. The letter was written in 1943. In London, the director of the Kensington Science Museum, where the plane has been for 20 years, said that if the letter fitted in with the terms of Wright's will, the Kitty Hawk would come back to the nation where it made aviation history. In the labor news, there will be a meeting of the national airlines officials and representatives of the striking pilots union who will get together under auspices of the National Mediation Board to try to reach an agreement. The strike still keeps nationals' planes on the ground. And a wide section of the United States is in for a wet weekend with rain and snow in the forecast and the cold hanging on in spots. More news in a moment. Now, your announcer.
Say there, if you're a woman under 35 and a high school graduate, there's a career waiting for you in registered nursing. Yes, the need for trained nurses is growing, and 50,000 student nurses must enroll in nursing schools this year if the need for nursing services is to be met. Now, positions are opening at a record rate all over the United States in public and private hospitals, in the United States Public Health Service, in private nursing practice, and in clinics and rapidly growing health programs. Nursing is a proud profession, and its members are respected for the merciful services which they render to the community. Furthermore, nurses are well paid. So, if you're a young woman under 35 and a high school graduate, it will pay you to investigate the many opportunities offered by a career as a trained registered nurse. You can get full information if you apply at your local hospital or the director of nurses at any hospital near your home. Now back to the newsroom.
Hopscotching the globe, Philadelphia, the American Automobile Association is opposing the lower hemlines for the women, makes it tougher for the lady pedestrians to avoid being hit by a motor car. Boston, freight loading is at a halt throughout New England by government order, and the holiday will last 3 days to ease congestion in snowbound railroad yards in the Midwest. The Longshoremen's Union and the Port of Boston Authority are protesting. There seems no limit to the Coast Guard's versatility. Not only do they rescue people at sea, they find time to take feed for the birds. A Coast Guard flying boat flew along the shore in the Cape Cod area yesterday, scattering 300 pounds of corn for migratory birds whose natural food had been frozen. As usual, the mission was successfully completed. Well, that's the story, folks. This is John Cameron Swayze saying goodbye from the NBC Newsroom in New York.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.